Today, I want to speak to you on God's love is, and I want to give you four things today about God's precious love. By the way, the devil plays the same trick on every one of us today. Through life has persuaded me about something. I'm convinced about something that one of Satan's most effective tools that he uses in your life and in my life is to try to get us to undermine our understanding of God's love for you and me. In fact, the devil knows that our confidence in God's love tends to be very fragile. And the devil knows that oftentimes we think that the love of God is dependent on whether we think our lives are going well or going poorly. And sometimes we believe that God loves us when we please Him, but He doesn't love us when we live in sin against Him. I want you to know something today, that our God in heaven does not love as humans love, because God's love is perfect. It's perfect. You see, we do not understand perfect love. We don't understand that. Because we live in a world today where love changes, does it not? We live in a world today of divorce. We live in a world today of child abandonment. We live in a world of abuse. We live in a world to where we see that people who said they loved one now no longer loves them. We have an uneasiness about love. But our God has perfect love. In fact, do you know that you cannot keep God from loving you? You can't keep Him from loving you. Today, the love of God for you is perfect. That means that God will never love you more than He loves you right now. He has never loved you less. And no matter what you do or don't do, our God in heaven loves you. And by the way, He likes you. Today, God's love is. 1 John chapter 4, and I want us to begin in verse number 4, if you would please. And I want us to look at some very wonderful things that we find in 1 John chapter 4. And let us begin in verse number 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And by the way, this morning, I want you to know the truth about God's love for you. Can I ask you a question this morning? How would it change your life and my life if we were overwhelmed and confident in God's love for you and me? It would change us. It would revolutionize our lives. We read on here, verse number 7 of 1 John chapter 4 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. Now, I believe in this verse that we have just read here, where the Bible says that there is no fear in love, in verse 18, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. There are people that live all over this world, and I believe that there are even Christians that are tormented because they don't believe confidently that God really loves them. Why? Because we live in a world that is changing, and we live in a world where it is hard to find people with love that is unconditional. It really is. Because let's be honest with ourselves. Oftentimes, we place conditions on our love for people. If they treat us well, if they're nice and kind and gracious, then we are kind and gracious to them. And we would say that we love them. But God does not love as man. God's love is perfect, and God looks upon us this morning with eyes of love. And by the way, there has never been a time when God did not love you. We think, well, Pastor, before I came to know Jesus as my Savior, Pastor, I was a terrible sinner, and I sinned against God, and I rebelled against God. But boy, now God loves me. No, God loved you even when you were a sinner. You see, brethren, God's love today is so amazing. And let me say this, I want to just bask in the love of God, and I want God's love, I want to understand it, I want to for it to be made perfect in my life, for it to be complete, so that I know the wonderful love of God. By the way, there are two circumstances in which we are prone to doubt the love of God. I believe two things. Number one, when we are victims of evil, and when we do evil. So often when we are victims of evil, when maybe people have hurt us or wounded us or tragedy has struck our lives, sometimes we think that God maybe doesn't love us as He loves other people. Because other people, we look at them and we think everything seems to be great for their life, and all they have, all of this, but we don't. And we begin to doubt the love of God. We think, God, why have you allowed this into my life if you really loved me? Brethren, that is a false ideal of the love of God. But the second circumstance is when we do evil. Now, by the way, may I say to you that we are all sinners here this morning, including your pastor. We are sinners. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible no longer calls you a sinner. He calls you a saint. Now, by the way, we think sometimes we might say about someone, well, they are just a saint. Well, every Christian is a saint, whether they act like it or not. May I say to you today that even when you sin and do evil in the sight of God, God's love never changes. In fact, we think that because God hates evil, and He does, how can He love us? When He finds the evil in our own lives. Listen, there are consequences to our wrong choices. There is, the Bible says that we will reap what we sow. But those consequences do not include the loss of God's love. I believe with all my heart that there are people here this morning that maybe you grew up in a home, or maybe you had someone in your life that you could never please. Maybe someone that you knew, you could never get their acceptance. And somehow you have evaluated that. You have transitioned that over into your view of God. And you think, well, if I do really good things, and if I do well, and if I pray and read my Bible enough and all of that, God is really going to love me. And when things go well in your life, you may think, boy, God really loves me. But brethren, may I tell you that God's love is so perfect, it is so complete, it is so sovereign, that God loves you no matter what you do in your life. You see, God doesn't love me any more being a pastor and trying to preach the gospel than he does to some man that's roamed the streets last night, or to some person that's lived in sin and debauchery. God loves us the same. That is the love of God. What a powerful love it is. May I say to you today that the most important fact of your life is that God loves you. You know something, every day we ought to think, God, thank you for loving me in spite of myself. Can I tell you something? I have given God every reason to abandon me, but God still loves me. And every man, woman, boy, a girl that has ever been born into this world, listen, even from our first parents, Adam and Eve, who dwelt in the Garden of Eden, they rebelled against God. They sinned against God, but God never stopped loving them. Listen, we have given God every reason to condemn us to spend eternity separated from God, but God still loves us. Listen, that love is almost beyond our comprehension today. But brethren, we ought to rejoice in the wonderful love of God. By the way, maybe you have suffered misfortunes that have convinced you that God does not love you. Maybe you believe that you have committed so many sins against God that God could never love you and God could never accept you. I remember when I got saved, the age of 17, and I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that God loved me theologically and doctrinally speaking, because that's what the Bible says, but I just didn't think God liked me very much, because there were things in my life that I didn't like. In fact, sometimes we evaluate the way we feel about ourselves to the way God feels about us. But may I say to you that God loves us today. He likes us today. We are accepted in the beloved today. There is a mighty love of God for you that he will never stop loving you. That is God's precious love. By the way, everyone talks about love today, do they not? And everyone experiences some form of it. And everyone is driven by the need to receive love. We need to be loved. We want to be loved. And we want acceptance today. But there is a God in heaven who knows you by name, who gave you life, who created you, who knows every detail of your life. And that God is looking upon you today with eyes of love, with a smile upon his face, because he loves you today. You say, Pastor, what should that do to me? Brethren, that should change everything about us. It should cause us, as Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. The word constrained means it's gotten such a hold of me that I want to serve him. I want to live for him. I want to please this God who loves me with this amazing love. That is God's love for you and me. By the way, so many times, maybe if your heart has been broken romantically, you face the danger of concluding that all love, including God's, is just as unstable. Maybe you had a troubled relationship with your father. You might conclude that your heavenly Father's love for you is just as unreliable and unstable. But brethren, today there is a God in heaven who accepts us and loves us, because his love is perfect. Number one, this morning, I want to show you that God's love, number one, is uncaused. It's uncaused. Now, I think around here at our church and our school, I tell you something, I just love being around the kids and the young people and all of that. And most of the kids know that Pastor Samples has something in his office called Pastor's Treasure Box, all right? Now, that's pretty special in there, you know? And I keep all little toys in there and all of that. And I'll just be very honest with you. I want to explain to you, and I go on record by saying this. You say, well, Pastor, how these kids love you? I give them things, you know. And that's it, you know. And I enjoy it. I do. You know, those kids come in there and they look through the treasure box and all of that. Maybe on their birthday or in our school if they do well in class, or just different things, you know. And I love giving them things. I enjoy it. But may I say to you today that oftentimes we love other people because of what they have done for us. There's nothing wrong with that. I'll tell you, you know, as a church and as a pastor, God has allowed my family and I to be here now going on 9 years this coming December. But, you know, I came in, you didn't know me, I didn't know you. And how was I going to love you, and how are you going to love me? Guess what? We just began to work and to labor together and spend time together. And guess what? It became something to where I began to love you and you began to love us. And that's a wonderful thing. And you take a young man and a young lady. Well, I'll tell you, he tries to win her heart, does he not? He gives her all kinds of candy and flowers and little notes and all that. Man, he's trying to win her heart. He's trying to cause her to love him. There's nothing wrong with that. And brethren, our God, he loves us without cause. It's an uncausing love. We have done nothing to merit the love of God. By the way, God did not look upon you and me and say, boy, I tell you, look at all the great things in their life. I really love them. It is not true. God looks upon me and he looks upon you. And I'll tell you what he sees. He sees our sin. He sees our rebellion. And we are all sinners. We are born into this world sinners, separated from God. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God looked upon us in our filth, in our sin, in our wickedness, and God said, I love you, but there's nothing to love about us. But that is an uncausing love. May I say to you that our common experiences in life, it teaches us that we have to earn love somehow. And that's what we think about God. We think, well, God, if I do this, you'll really love me or you'll really accept me. We think that we have to meet certain conditions and certain standards that will cause God or others to love us because of what we have done. And by the way, there is nothing this morning that can cause God to love you more, to love you less, or to prevent God from loving you. God loves us simply this morning because he is God and God is love. I want you to take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you would please. You're in 1 John. If you'll turn backwards to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. What an amazing thing this is. I don't deserve the love of God. I just don't deserve it today. And I'm going to tell you something. When you begin to bask in the love of God, it'll change you. When you begin to think, God, you really love me? You see, today we live in a world, and I think this is why it's so tough. I believe there's people here this morning, I don't know who you are. There's probably people here this morning that you believe with all your heart that your dad never liked you and never loved you. Maybe your mom never really liked you, never accepted you, never loved you. Maybe a spouse who abandoned you, a spouse who stopped loving you. And somehow you have equated that with God's love for you. And you think there must be something in me that God just does not love. And you know the sin in your life and I know the sin in my life. And we look upon ourselves and we think God surely cannot love us because we find no cause. But may I say to you that God loves you and he would have given his only son if you were the only one on the face of the earth. He loves you that much. God has no favorites today. God does not love and like people better than he likes other people. His love is perfect. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 9, the Bible says this, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. And look at this, before the world began. Can I tell you this? I've been in the hospitals with, obviously, my wife as she gave birth to our three children. And you know something? There's nothing like holding that little child in your arms. You know what it's like, Dad, Mom, you know what it's like. You know what it's like, grandparent? There's just something special about that. And you know something? You fall in love with that little child. But may I tell you, that God loved us before he ever knew that we were alive. God knew that we would be born. God loved us before we were ever born. God's love is past, present, and future. You see, there is no ending to his precious love for you and me. God's love is uncausing. Number two, God's love is unending. Take your Bibles and let's go to the Old Testament, to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, I want to show you a verse that is just so amazing to me. Our God is the everlasting God. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is knows the beginning from the end. There is no end to God, and therefore, God's love is everlasting. It is unending. You see, there is no moment when God's eye is off of you and me. Never. There is never a moment when his attention is distracted from you and me, and no moment when his care falters for you and me. You know, as a parent, I love my children. I thank God for them. I don't know if I can adequately describe the love that I have for my children. I don't think I can even verbalize it or talk about it. I love them. And I care for them. But may I say to you, I cannot be with them every moment of the day. I can't protect them from every little thing that will ever come into their life. I can't be with them. There's going to be times when I'm going to feel helpless to be able to help them because I'm not there. But may I say to you, our God is always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He looks upon you. His eyes are upon you. You know, sometimes we think, we might even say, I'm a million miles away from God. No, you're not, because God can see you. And God loves you. And his love never falters. It never wanes. It never changes. It is an unending, everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3. I love this verse. You ought to memorize it. The Bible says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Brethren, there is unspeakable comfort this morning to know that God is constantly taking knowledge of you and me. He is watching over us. He loves us. He cares for us. And by the way, sometimes we think we meet someone or we deal with people sometimes that are so difficult to deal with. You know what will help you to deal with them is that God loves that person just like he loves you. And God gave his son for that person just like he gave his son for you. You see, God's love is unending. God's love for you does not depend upon your perfection, nor does it depend upon your achievement. His love is uncausing. Secondly, it is unending. And thirdly, God's love is unlimited. Now, you know something? There is a limit to what you and I can do for people, is there not? There is a limit, in a sense, to my love. And there is a limit to your love. We have limits, do we not? There are limits, but God has a limitless love. God can love you no matter what changes, no matter what happens in your life. By the way, some people might think this: God could never love me because, and then they say something. But may I say to you that God could never love me is a false premise. In fact, it can never happen to you or to anyone else. God will never come to the place where he says, I don't love you anymore. We can never get so far from God that God would ever say, I'm done with you. I do not love you anymore. Because God's love has no limit. You know, when we seek the love of other people, and by the way, there's something within all of us that we want to be loved. We want to be accepted. We want to know that people love us and appreciate us. But when we often seek the love of other people, we factor in that assumed requirement that we have to do something. that we have to become something to them before they will ever really love us. But that is not how God loves us. God loves us. There is no limit to our love. When you add all of your flaws and my flaws and conclude that God could not possibly love you today, His answer is, I love you anyway. You know something we might say, but God, you know this, I love you anyway. We might say, God, you know what I did, I love you anyway. We might say, God, I'm not close to you and I'm not faithful to you. But God would say, I love you anyway and I am faithful to you. You see, God's love has no limit. Since today we encounter so few people who have that love without limits, we are prone to doubt God's limitless love. But nevertheless, He loves you and me. Number four, the last thing that we notice today is God's love is unchanging. You know, it's amazing. And by the way, my kids, yesterday, we were here. We had the ladies' friendship banquet. And I prayed with the ladies and got out as quickly as possible. I was outnumbered. And it was scary, you know. So, my two boys were with me. And of course, my wife was there speaking and my daughter was there. So I took my two boys. We went out to eat for lunch yesterday. The ladies wouldn't feed us. That's terrible, isn't it? You know. But anyway, we went out to lunch. And I don't know how we got on this subject, but the boys were talking to me about phones. And they said, well, Dad, did you ever have one of those car phones? And now, how many ever had a car phone? Would you raise your hand? All right. My parents did. They had a phone in a bag, and they laughed at that. They said, a phone in a bag? I said, yeah, that's how it was. And then my son Joshua says, so did you dial it like a rotary? And I said, no. So we weren't that old, you know. And then they got on this subject of saying, Dad, have you ever been in a payphone? Well, of course I've been in a payphone, you know. And they said, well, how does anybody call you from the payphone? And it's just all these questions, you know. And I said, well, boys, things have changed in life, you know, and things have advanced and all of that. But is it not so true that we live in a world that changes and technology changes? But we live in a world of change, but people change. Have you ever had a friend before that you loved them and they loved you, but something came between your friendship and now there's a broken friendship there. And that hurts you because you love them. Maybe you're here today and you had a close relationship with a mom or a dad or a sibling and something has happened to where that friendship and that closeness and that relationship is not what you want it to be. And it breaks your heart today. It burdens you today. And maybe even on Mother's Day, it is a difficult day for you because of the loss of someone's love. But I want you to know today, based on the authority of the Word of God, that there is a God in heaven that loves you. His love never changes for you. There is nothing that you could ever do to make God love you more or to make God love you less. And you know what? Today, we ought to get on our face and say, oh God, thank you for your love for me. I don't deserve your love, God. And look here, no matter if anybody else, if you think everyone else has stopped loving you, God will never stop loving you. His love for you is so wonderful. It is an unchanging. Malachi 3:6, God says, I am the Lord. He said, and I change not. God never changes. And because God is unchanging, His love is unchanging for you and me. His love is constant. It neither diminishes nor disappears regardless of the circumstances in our lives. The love that God has for us in the future will never be greater or lesser than the love that God has for us now. And His love for us now is no lesser, no greater than it was in the very beginning and the foundation of the world. Brethren, this love that we talk about, I'm going to tell you something. As a teenage boy at the age of 17, God's love got a hold of me. It did, because I'm going to tell you something today. And you're here today. You're here on this Mother's Day listening. But I want you to know something, that you and I both know that we are sinners. We know, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We cannot reach perfection. None of us can. We've come short of His glory, His holiness, His righteousness. We cannot reach it. We've come short of it. and you will always be short of the glory of God. And listen, you can live the rest of your life doing good deeds and getting baptized and going to church and giving to church, and you can do all those wonderful things, but you will always fall short of the perfection and the glory of God. So what did God do for us? Did He leave us in our misery? Did He leave us in our sinfulness and our wretchedness? No. His love was so powerful because God gave us His only begotten Son. God gave His Son. Look, God loved you and me so much that He was willing to sacrifice His Son to a world that would hate Him and would mock Him and would ridicule Him. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. God knew that ahead of time. God knew that. But yet in His love for you and me, He gave His Son. And you see, what God did to Jesus on the cross is so amazing of His love. Jesus hung there. Listen, He didn't just die just to die. Jesus died on purpose on the cross. When He hung there, God took the sin debt of the world. He took every sin that you and I would ever commit in our lives, and He put it upon Jesus. And the Bible says that Christ became sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus bore my sin debt. He paid my penalty. Listen, the penalty of my sin and your sin is to die and spend eternity in a place called hell forever. That's what we deserve. We have sinned. We have transgressed the commandment of a holy God. And that's what we deserve. But God looked beyond our sin. God knows that we are sinners. He knows that there is no way that we can get to heaven on our own. So God, in His love, gave His Son. God condemned His Son. Can I tell you what God did? God turned His back on His Son. I'm going to tell you this. I love my children, not with a perfect love because I'm not God. But I pray that I would never turn my back on my kids. But God turned His back on His Son. Can I tell you, Jesus cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I'm going to tell you why God forsook His Son on the cross, out of love for you and me. Jesus took my separation. He took your separation. And you know something? Then He provides for us the greatest opportunity of all. And that is that we can accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Listen, God's not going to make you do it because God cannot make you accept His Son as the only way to heaven. Oh, He offers you the invitation. You know what He said? "For whosoever shall call upon me shall be saved." Listen, the day when I was 17 years old and I walked that old-fashioned aisle, I want to tell you something. I was burdened about my sin. I couldn't do anything to wash my sin away. But I came and I said, "Jesus, I am a sinner and I cannot get to heaven on my own. Will You save me now?" I'm going to tell you what God did. God was waiting for me to accept Him. And God saved me that moment, not because of anything I'd ever done. He saved me because of Jesus Christ that day. And can I tell you something? No matter who you are here, there is a God in heaven who is waiting to save you. Years ago, I heard the story about a boy who was the apple of his mom and dad's eye. They loved their only boy. But the boy in his late teen years became very wayward. He dropped out of school and began associating with the worst kinds of friends that you could imagine, breaking his mom and dad's heart. One night at 3:00 in the morning, he staggered into the house in a drunken stupor, and he collapsed on the bed. His mother slipped out of her bed. And the father got out of bed as well, and he thought maybe his wife was going to the kitchen to weep and to cry, but she was not in the kitchen. He found her at her son's bedside, softly stroking his matted hair as he lay there in his drunkenness and his wretchedness. And he said to her, "Honey, what are you doing?" And she simply answered, "He won't let me love him in the daytime, but I can love him when he's asleep." Can I tell you something? The love of God for you and me. Listen, you can't make God stop loving you. He will always love you. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to know something, that God looks upon you right now. He knows where you're at. He brought you here today, not by accident, but on purpose, because to say to you, I love you and I want you to be a part of my family. But if you're here today and you're a Christian and you doubt God's love, oh, listen, don't doubt His love. That's a lie from the devil. You know what we ought to do? We ought to bask in His love. We ought to say, Lord, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you love me in spite of me. Oh, you know what the devil is? He's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us before God, and he accuses us to ourselves, and he accuses us to other people. He is the accuser. But God is love today, and he loves you and me. Listen, will you accept his love for you today? And if you're already a child of God, will you be so grateful and thankful? And we ought to serve him. This person who has loved us with an unfailing and unending, an uncausing love, should we not give our lives to him? Our God loves you. It's the most important fact of your life. Let's bow our heads in prayer.